now another episode of the Willingboro and Vicinity NAACP podcast. I'm your host, William Weston.
And I'm president of the Willingboro and Vicinity branch, Samantha Whitfield.
It's been a while since we last spoke. What's been going on with you, President Whitfield?
You know, everything is everything. We still pushing on, fighting for civil rights and social justice like we do. So what's been going on with you, Will?
First and foremost, I would like to apologize to our listeners and subscribers for taking so long to produce another episode. It takes time editing, we strive for accuracy, and we want to properly represent the NAACP. Now, saying that, since our last conversation, there were the midterm elections. We had the New Jersey State Conference quarterly meeting right here in Willingboro on December 1st. And right now I'm looking at the NAACP.org website, and there are quite a few things going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. So I guess that brings us right into the national topics for this month. So the 2018 resolutions were just released. We got a copy in our branch PO box and we passed it around at our last meeting. These were resolutions that were ratified by the national board and voted upon by the body that attended at the national convention this year in San Antonio. There were about 42 resolutions that were passed and are included in this document.
Yeah, didn't one of them have to do with local hip-hop?
Yeah, it was under commemorative and memorial. Number 2 designates August as Hip-Hop Recognition Month. And I'll just read the therefore. Therefore, be it resolved that the NAACP will build partnerships with local hip-hop entities and other members of the creative arts and music community in their cities and towns, and shall proclaim the month of August as Hip-Hop Recognition Month annually henceforth.
Check out the NAACP supporting local hip-hop.
So what's up for August? What are we going to do, Mega D?
Yeah, maybe we can get some local artists to come out to an August branch meeting.
Also,
I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention the first resolution in the commemorative memorial section, which has to deal with the Camp Logan mutiny in Houston, Texas. Reading this resolution, it was very eye-opening. I was unaware of this event. It produced the largest court-martial in United States military history, and 13 Buffalo soldiers were hanged. They didn't have proper representation. They had only 2 weeks to prepare for the trial, and there was no appeals process. Through this resolution, the NAACP is seeking to have a posthumous presidential pardon for these 13 men. I commend the Houston, Texas branch for submitting this resolution. If you would like more details, please research it. Also, if you would like to actually read the resolution, you can go to naacp.org/resolutions. That's naacp.org/resolutions, and that's the word resolutions.
Also, there's a national town hall coming up. It's the Living Wild Black Town Hall. That's going to take place December 20th at 8 p.m. And they'll be hosting their final teletown hall of the year. And this is a part of a series of conversations they've been having to energize members and advocates. This one will feature leaders, activists, and organizers in a candid conversation about living while black.
Additionally, on the national level, there's the Log Out Facebook campaign, which is not just Facebook, but also logging out of Instagram and WhatsApp. This will commence on December 18th, and you can continue to be logged out. The NAACP website states that the NAACP remains concerned about the data breaches and numerous privacy mishaps that the tech giant has encountered in recent years, and is especially critical about those which occurred during the last presidential election campaign. Facebook's commitment to the Honest Ads Act, an act that would mandate that political ads be clearly labeled as such, was a good first step towards reconciliation of their gross negligence. However, much more needs to be done to ensure that African Americans will not unfairly bear the brunt of Facebook's business model. In March 2018, press reports revealed that Cambridge Analytica, a British big data firm, gained access to the personal information of 87 million Facebook users without the user's consent. The misuse of data of 87 million users was negligent at best and exploitive at worst. Earlier this year, the National Fair Housing Alliance filed a lawsuit alleging that Facebook continues to enable landlords and real estate brokers to bar families with children, women, and others from receiving rental and sales ads for housing. Facebook has created a pre-populated list of demographics, behaviors, and interests that make it possible for housing advertisers to exclude certain home seekers from ever seeing their ads. Recent revelations that Facebook hired opposition research and its work with other deeply partisan strategy firms call into question the notion that Facebook operates with a nonpartisan view. And these are the official reasons behind the NAACP's Logout Facebook event.
So it's good that NAACP is speaking out about that. And it seems like the call to action is to log out Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp on the 18th.
All right.
What else do we got going on? The National Board elections, yes.
So, as we just went through the midterm elections, which we will talk a little bit about that right after this, we are up for National Board elections within NAACP. And the NAACP National Board is made up of 64 board of directors, 3 members from each region, each of the 7 regions, which make up 21 people. There's also 1 youth member from each region, 21 at-large members, 12 that are elected by the board of directors, and then 3 board members that are elected at the annual convention.
How long do board members serve?
The term for each board member is 3 years, and you can serve no more than 4 consecutive terms. Yeah. So there were 7 candidates up for election for the at-large seats: Carolyn Coleman, Catherine Eglin, Scott Esdale, James Galman, Leonard James III, Howard Jefferson, and Jesse H. Turner Jr.
Are you familiar with any of the candidates?
The only one that I know anything about is Scott Esdale.
Yes, I see here he's the president of the Connecticut State Conference.
Yeah, so the way the votes go is that each state conference gets a vote, and then each branch also gets a vote. So on our state conference level, New Jersey State Conference level, we voted for all 7, and also on our local level, on the branch level, we voted for all 7. There were only 7 spots, or only 7 candidates, and 7 names were only submitted. So there wasn't any real wiggle room to vote for anyone else.
At least for us. Could other state conferences nominate other candidates, or these were the only names available?
These were the only names on the ballot for the at-large members.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was a couple names on the ballot for our Region 2 representation. There were 2 candidates, Juan Cofield and Leroy Gadsden. Juan Cofield is the president of the NEAC, which is the New England Area Conference. And Leroy Gadsden is president of the Jamaica Queens branch in New York.
Okay. And you had mentioned previously, before we started recording, and I got to experience it at this quarterly meeting, candidates being put forward and not a lot of information being available about them.
We did receive some information about Scott Esdale. He had a pamphlet that he sent out, and we also had some information on Juan Cofield. I do remember at the national convention, Leroy Gadsden handed out some pamphlets regarding his history in the NAACP, but there were only a number of copies that went around, and I wasn't able to get one. Some people do put out information, but I don't think it's a mandatory thing.
Maybe at some point it will be mandatory that candidates have to present themselves or provide some information prior to the election.
Yeah, even like a PDF or email or something would be nice, just so that we can make an informed decision as voters. If we expect this in our political system, we should try to pre-configure and set a good example in the NAACP of what we'd like to see on the larger scale.
sitting in a room, I picked up that some people felt like a candidate was being favored.
Yeah, and that doesn't only happen in the NAACP. That happens in our political system all the time, where, you know, you get one candidate, there's no one running against them, and you don't get any information, so they just expect you to vote for them. So in that case, it's, you know.
Yes, and that goes to being an educated voter. A part of being an educated voter, at least there should be information out there for you to be educated by. And this could go, we could go further in this, and the allegiance with a certain group or party, which would have a greater impact than actually the issues. And sometimes that seems to start to be, especially now in this highly partisan time where there's such a strong allegiance to one side or the other, regardless of who's running.
Right. No, I agree. But I think that brings us right into our next topic, which we wanted to touch on, is voter suppression, which following the midterms was a huge issue. I remember we were talking last month a little bit about some of the voter suppression things that were going on. Alabama, I know they require IDs, photo IDs, to cast the ballot. And in some other states like Ohio and Georgia, they have enacted a use it or lose it law where it'll take your name off the voter rolls if you haven't participated in an election in whatever period of time they say that you should have participated to vote. So sometimes it's like if you haven't voted in the past two elections, then they'll remove you from the rolls. And yeah, they call it like clean up of the voter rolls.
Yes.
Yeah, purging the rolls. But, you know, some people only vote in presidential elections. So if you only vote in presidential elections, that takes you off the rolls in 2 years, you know? Yes.
Voting is a right, but some people push this agenda that voting is a privilege, and they couch voter suppression in the guise of fighting voter fraud. So there's stricter voter ID laws, purging of voter rolls, and felon disenfranchisement. Voting should be easily accessible. You shouldn't have to go through hoops to vote.
Yeah. And I mean, just look at what happened in Georgia with Brian Kemp's office. He was the gubernatorial candidate. Well, I guess he won the race against Stacey Abrams. But before the election, he was the Secretary of State. And he was blocking 53,000 voter registrations. 70% of those were for African Americans, and a total of the total number, 80% were people of color. He was blocking those registrations because of an exact match system where the name on the voter rolls had to be identical to the name in other state systems. So if there was a hyphen missing or an apostrophe, you know how we get with apostrophe sometimes. But if any of those things were missing, you were sent a letter saying that there was an issue with your voter registration and you had to contact the Division of Elections. And in some cases, people just didn't vote. I mean, even with this, you could still vote in person with proper ID, but you couldn't vote by mail or anything. So because of that, the Georgia NAACP also filed a voter complaint against the Secretary of State, well, now governor-elect. So what he was doing with the exact match system, they tried to do on a state level in 2009, and it was blocked by the federal government under the Voting Rights Act. But when Kemp was elected to Secretary of State, then he started to implement some of the changes administratively in 2010, which is crazy because the federal government already said that they couldn't do it. It was illegal, and he started to implement that procedure anyway.
Another part of the problem is Brian Kemp was in a position as state elections chief that oversees the election, and that clearly is a conflict of interest. That's like a coach, you know, in a game also being the referee. You're the candidate and you're also overseeing the election. And concerning that, NAACP President Derek Johnson had released a statement saying it was unfortunate that Kemp didn't step down months ago to ensure a fair election. Honestly, I'm surprised that that was even allowed.
Yeah, the Georgia NAACP also filed a
voter complaint against the Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, I guess now Governor-elect Brian Kemp, over voter machines irregularities. President Phyllis T. Blake of the Georgia NAACP, there were some malfunctions with the touchscreens in Bartow, Cobb, Henry, and Dodge counties. So they were saying that the touchscreen, when they were attempting to select Stacey Abrams for their choice for governor, yes, the machine will automatically choose Brian Kemp, which is crazy. So he could have gotten it. In some instances, ballots were cast before the person realized what happened and they actually voted for the wrong candidate.
And these are the type of issues the NAACP addresses, because they'll continue if no one challenges them.
Yep, they sure will. Anyway. I mean, it just makes me so mad. Like, we fought for so long for the right to vote, and it's like an uphill battle. We continue to have to fight for something that we already fought for, which just doesn't seem right to me. It's supposed to be America, the land of the free. But, you know, just still, it doesn't feel like we're free all the time. And it's disheartening. But we continue to fight. And yes, we fight on. We stay in the fight. I guess we can move on to some state things, right?
Yes, we touched on some of the things at the New Jersey State Conference quarterly meeting. So we can just continue on with some of the happenings on the state level.
Yeah, so we had our New Jersey State Conference quarterly meeting on December 1st. It was one of those all-day workshops from 9 to 3, but it's always great to get with fellow members of the NAACP from across the state and share our tactics, what we've been working on, and how we can support each other in the fights that we're battling. One of the things that had came up is we finally got some movement on the marijuana legislation. Yes, so the bill passed in the Senate, and that was for recreational use.
Yes.
We were a little disappointed because one of the major contingencies that we had did not make it in the bill. That was the automatic expungement piece, but we were able to negotiate for the expungements to be free and online to people who...
Yes, who has prior conviction, cannabis-related, a violation. So if that is the case, you would have to go online and apply for the expungement. It's free, but you have to take some action to get the expungement.
And I mean, I get that. Because I tell you, I'm not leaving nothing up to the state of New Jersey to make sure that my record is clean. I'm gonna check myself to yes, make sure everything is good. Because if you leave it up to them.
Yes, because at least you'll have confirmation that it did happen, as opposed to just thinking your conviction would be automatically expunged.
You know, so at least it'll be free and online and easily accessible. And I think the time frame was like 8 weeks that it'll be taken care of from application. So that's not terribly long.
Yes, it was mentioned that it is a process. It's available, but for people in that situation, it's a blessing.
Also, there was a bill that was passed regarding driver's licenses in New Jersey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, creating the two tiers of licenses. You remember that?
Yes, the two tiers of license. The way I remember it from what they were saying, the one tier is what we have where you can fly and go to different states and those type of things. And we'll say the lower tier for somebody who isn't documented with this license, they'll be able to get insurance. It'll only be applicable in New Jersey, it sounds like, but it will be enough that they will be able to apply for insurance instead of having these uninsured drivers.
Yeah, I think that came up. I think there was starting to be an uptick in hit and runs and things like that of people who couldn't get insurance because they didn't have the proper proof of residency. or all of their points. You know, here in New Jersey, you got to have that 6 points of identification. You got to have a bill or a passport or a prior license and all the your birth certificate, social security card. You got to have like 1,000 points.
So, yeah, if you're undocumented here, you're not going to have all that. You might have maybe a bill in your name, maybe, but you won't have enough to get that license with the 6 points. So you're still driving, but you have no license. So,
right, and that also applies to people who are recently released from prison, who they might not have all their documents, their birth certificate, their social security card, depending on how long they were incarcerated for, and they wouldn't be able to get a license either.
True. Okay, so that bill already passed. That's done.
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe they also talked about trying to recruit more people of color in education. Especially, you know, and somebody did mention, especially black men, so that students can see people that they can model themselves after.
They were talking about lowering the GPA requirements for candidates from a 3.0 to a 2.75 to allow more candidates to be able to
apply for to be teacher certified, I think.
Yeah, to be certified as teachers.
It was 3.0, and they're talking about lowering it to 2.75. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
But currently it's at 3.0, but this is just another way that they can allow more diversity in the teacher profession.
Yeah, and I know there's a little controversy about it because the 3.0, I guess what they're trying to signal is that those teachers with that GPA are highly qualified. But as we know, there's racism throughout the education system, and it affects our grades. It affects standardized testing scores and all types of different things. So I think this will allow for some of our, you know, educators to be able to have an impact in areas where there aren't people readily applying to teach kids there. So I think it hopefully it spurs more interest and allows more African American representation in not just our lower school districts, but also community colleges and higher level education.
So it's another tool to disrupt the homogeny of teachers in the educational system.
Also, there is tax amnesty program going on in New Jersey. The deadline is January 15th. So if you ain't been paying your taxes, you better get on it because they offering you some relief.
Yes.
What it'll do is it's only available for state tax liabilities and tax returns that were due on or after February 2009 and before September 2017. But what they're offering is a reduce in interest, like taking away some penalties and offering, I think, some payment plans as well to get people, get you right with the law.
Yes, at least on the state level.
Yeah.
Yeah, in federal, you still might have your issues, but New Jersey is offering that.
Yeah, New Jersey trying to help you out. So, you know, if your 2019 resolution is to get right, you got a little bit of time. And just remember, the deadline is January 15th, 2019. So if you made it to New Year's resolution, you ain't got that long to get it together.
Right on.
So that are some of the updates, the bill updates for the New Jersey State Conference. We do have a monthly bill track where all of the bills that we are in support of or in opposition of are updated by our administrative director, Safia. So if you would like any of that information,
you can email Safia at admdirector.njscnaacp@gmail.com.
So that's admdirector.njscnaacp@gmail.com.
And also, something that was mentioned at the quarterly conference, that there's 13 community colleges in New Jersey that will be eligible for tuition free in the spring semester of 2019. Those colleges are Atlanta Cape Community College, Bergen Community College, Camden County College, Cumberland County College, Hudson County Community College, Mercer County Community College, Middlesex County College, Ocean County College, Passaic County Community College, Rowan College at Gloucester County, Salem Community College, Union County College, and Warren County Community College. To meet the eligibility requirements, students need to be enrolled at a minimum as a part-time student and come from families with adjusted gross incomes between $0 and $45,000. And the students are required to maintain satisfactory grades.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great opportunity to get your learn on. And I wish that was available when I was in community college. I went to Burlington County College, and I don't even think that was listed in that list. But I'm sure that this could help a lot of people. So go ahead, get your learn on and enroll in your community college for the spring 2019 semester.
Good to know these things.
Yes, sir. Knowledge is power. You want to move on to some local things?
Looking at the local.
Looking at the local.
Branch level, unit 2111.
So obviously we had to submit our branch vote for the National Board of Directors. And we also went over our 2018 accomplishments with a little celebration and holiday gathering at the end.
And we also did a recap of the branch accomplishments in 2018.
One of the main accomplishments is this podcast. All right. Our communications team has been killing it. Thank you, Will Weston. Yes. Brother Will. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Miss Muriel. Thank all of y'all for keeping us relevant on social media and the internet.
Good looking team. Good looking team. It's a team effort.
Yeah, but y'all been killing it. So the branch is very thankful for all of your activism. And we are looking forward to another successful podcast year in 2019.
All right. And more things. We have more things on deck.
More things to come. We also had a couple programs. We had a program with the CERT team, which is the emergency response team. We actually had a number of our branch members get certified with the CERT team, which is awesome, especially in times of natural disaster. Black and brown communities are some of the first or some of the last to receive aid. And it's so important for our own people to be on those response teams to make sure that we are getting the assistance that we need. And I think we have 5 members of our branch that are a part of the CERT team. So thank you to those volunteers. We also had a talk with our local police departments. We had, I think, 2 representatives from 2 police departments within our district come in. Will, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We did reach out to the Willingboro Police Department, and Lieutenant Lohman came to our branch meeting. We wanted to reach out and touch base with them. I did have a contact in the West Hampton Police Department, Detective Roger Rogers, but he retired, so we have to get another point of contact. And this year, we'll be reaching out to the other towns in our vicinity.
All right, that sounds awesome. We also had a couple membership drives at the Willingboro Jazz Festival. We had a table and got some new members there. We got a number of new members this year, so make sure you encourage your friends, family, anybody you know to come on, get involved with the NAACP wherever they are across the nation, Korea, Japan, and Europe, and soon to be Puerto Rico.
Yes, in Region 2. We are Region 2.
Yes. We have some voter registration efforts. We had a number of tabling events at local businesses to get people registered to vote. We had a canvassing tailgate where we provided refreshments for some canvassers and did stationary voter registration. We did a Souls to the Polls rally, Rock the Vote panel. We did the van training that was sponsored by National, the Voter Activation Network. We have 4 members get trained in that system, and that should definitely help us to prepare and mobilize voters ahead of the 2020 elections. Our branch had representation at all state conferences and at the state and local conventions, and we made some efforts in workforce development, disaster relief. We had some Black History Month programs, and we made contact with our local religious institutions surrounding, well, in our jurisdiction. So we've had a very productive year this year. I'm looking forward to having a very productive 2019 with our new officers that will be coming in, which will be announced on our next podcast. So tune in for that. We'll probably have a little impromptu podcast coming up ahead of our January strategic planning meeting. Yeah?
Looking forward to that. Okay, I'm with it.
All right, let's do it.
Hey, as long as we got content, we can put it up.
All right, look. Well, I guess speaking of content, if you listeners out there have any topics that you want us to talk about, we are more than happy to see, you know, reach out to NAACP, get some official stances, and talk about any issues regarding civil rights on this platform. If you have any questions or comments, things like that, you can hit us up on Facebook.
Once you log back in, you can find us on Facebook at naacp.willingboro.
You can also email us at willingboro@naacp.gmail.com. And I guess, I mean, that's all I have, Will. What do you got? You got anything else?
No, that's about it. I really appreciate you being on this podcast, President Whitfield. I thank you to the communications team, and thank you to all the listeners. Have a wonderful year, and we'll see you on the other side. Peace.
Right on.